We might need some of that Sunday morning. Virgil, thank you. Do you have that? Did you get that out of your car, that CD? Got it off your phone. My phone don't play good songs like that. Because you know why? I don't know how to do that. Praise God. All right. Joy, joy, joy. Hallelujah. We have some confessions we want to read. And these were given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we need to release these. I hope you got a copy at home on your fridge. And you do occasionally confess these out and release your faith when you do. And it's a confession over the city of Oklahoma and the surrounding areas. Everyone in Oklahoma is saved, spirit-filled, and has the mind of Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everyone's living in prosperity and health. Yeah. Every business is prosperous. Yeah. Yeah. Schools are reformed into the image of Christ. Yeah. Praise God. The city, now God wants this. Yeah. This is His will on earth as it is in heaven. So anyway, we need to get on the road with Jesus here. The city is delivered from drugs and alcohol. Husbands and fathers are restored to families. Yeah, yeah. Oklahoma is a shining example to the county, the region, and the state. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. God's love fills the streets and every home. Amen. Yeah. The decay, shame, and distortion of the city is reversed. Amen. Woo. Respect, honor, and peace is restored to every person and place of authority. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The hope of Oklahoma is not deferred. Things can, will, and are changing. In the name of Jesus, it is done. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen? Wow, that's good. That is good. All right. Y'all got your Bibles tonight? Let's hold them up, wave them around. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am. What says I am? And I refuse to be. Anything less. Amen. This is your instruction booklet to life right here. And it's got a good plan in it, and God watches over His word to perform it. And He's got a plan for us individually. It's a good plan, right, Rose? It's a good plan. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, we want to start tonight somewhere here. Here we go. Can we go to John chapter 1, verse 36? And for Carolyn Pig's benefit, this is Big John. Father, as we approach your word, we do with great intention, Lord God, and expectancy. Lord, we know your word speaks, and it is alive. This Bible is not a book. It's your word, and it speaks to our heart and to our minds and changes us. Faith comes when we hear the word of God. It's your promises. It's your facts. It's who you are. And Lord God, we thank you that you and your word cannot be separated. And we give you honor and glory for all this in Jesus' name. And John 1:36 said, and John the Baptist is speaking here, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Now let's just take a little journey backwards here. This is John the Baptist is baptizing hundreds and thousands of people in the river there, the river Jordan, or wherever he can find some water probably. People were repenting. Repenting. What was his message? Repent and prepare for the kingdom of God. I think that would be good for today. The kingdom's coming. Let me tell you, he's coming back. And we're at least one day closer. But I'm wondering, he's coming back. His kingdom is coming. And we need to be in position to receive him. Amen. The Bible says this. When he comes back again, he'll be looking for faith. Not for doubters, not for unbelievers, but for faith. So you're a Wednesday night crowd, you got the faith. Amen. Praise God. So when he comes back, he's looking for faith. He's looking for his children. So anyway, those that believe in him. But John the Baptist is preaching. He's evangelizing all over the country. And Jesus said, there's not been a greater apostle or evangelist or man of God, prophet, than John the Baptist. And looking upon Jesus as Jesus walked. Now, Jesus and John the Baptist were first cousins. Am I right about that? All right. Looking upon Jesus, John the Baptist, looking at Jesus as he walked, he said to those around him, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, I want us to think just a second here, because in our society and our way of living, you know, unless we've been in church and we know what the Lamb of God means and all that kind of stuff, you're going to say, what? Well, what good? What does that mean, the Lamb of God? Well, in the Old Testament, a lamb had to be slain, sacrificed, blood had to be shed, his body had to be devoured, and when you did that, your sins were covered for a year. I would say covered. That's like when you're sweeping your floor and you pick up the rug and sweep under it and then put the rug back down. You just covered your sin. You covered the dirt. You didn't cleanse it. But Jesus came with his blood. He just didn't cover our sins. He cleansed us. I would say cleansed. Cleansed is better than covering. Or hiding, cleansing. So what a statement, and I'm sure those around him may not have caught what he was saying, because for thousands of years they've been killing these lambs and these sheep and things at Passover, and once a year they would do that. How would it be? No wonder Jesus said he's the greatest prophet that ever was. Because he identified who Jesus was and declared who he was. Behold, the Lamb of God. Well, would you like to be called the Lamb of God? Yeah. Stick my thumbs in my vest. I'm the greatest preacher ever been. I'm the greatest prophet ever been. I am the Lamb of God. Well, if you know anything about Jesus, he didn't act like that. Thank goodness. Because if you know anything, you don't want to be the Lamb of God, because that Lamb's going to die. He's going to be crucified. His body's going to be beaten to where it's not even recognizable. We cannot describe the horror of Jesus and the brutality and the things that every sickness and disease was on him. Every spirit of depression was on him. Everything the enemy had was thrown on him, because he was made to be sin for us. He wasn't sin, but the Lord looked at him and said, he's on a tree. He's hanging on a tree. He's dying on a tree. And the Bible says, everyone that hangs on a tree is cursed. He became a curse for us. He paid the price you and I could have never paid, but he did it anyway. Amen. He didn't deserve to be there. That's what Easter's about. This is what this week is about. That's what Friday's about. Good Friday. That's the day that Jesus died for us. So as we think about this, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And I wonder, John, did you really know what you were saying? He knew a lamb would have to be slain for the Passover. And he just identified him. That's my cousin. That's Jesus. That's the Son of God. I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. But that's the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who will take away all the sin. I would say, thank God for Jesus. Isn't that great? Let's just give him a hand clap tonight. Jesus is worthy of our praise. When we begin to understand what he did, and if you think back where we were before we met him, what a mess we all were in. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Everybody look upstairs and say, he's talking about those guys. And, oh, there's one pretty girl up there. We're not talking about her. But we're all a mess. We all were in sin. We couldn't get out of it. Because we were born into it because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They sinned and we were separated from God. That's spiritual death. Spiritual death is to be separated from God. And most of us led our younger years and stuff, and maybe teenage, maybe later than that, before we understood this was all about Jesus and I needed his help. looking unto Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Can we say that out loud? Behold the Lamb of God. You'll see pictures of Jesus on a cross. You'll see pictures of just a cross. You'll see pictures of Jesus doing miraculous things on paintings and in pictures and that sort of thing. But he did it all for you. And he did it all for me. And I'm not worthy. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Let's think quickly here now. Passover, a lamb. As John said this, you know these people, and even himself, would have to deal with these facts. Because of Jewish history, they were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. I'm not talking about Freddie and Brent and Sharon live, but I'm talking about the real Egypt over in Cairo, you know. They were there for 400 years in slaves. But that night came after Moses had declared to Pharaoh, "You better let my people go." "Nah, I ain't going to do it." Well, that was the night that the death angel passed over. Everybody say passed over. That's why he called it Passover. Because it happened in Egypt long, long time ago. And that night, God had given direction for them to get a lamb without spot and to put it on the fire, eat the whole lamb. And, of course, blood has to be shed. The lamb has to die. But, you know, this is a really something that we need to think about. He told him to take that Passover supper, to do exactly what he said, and to put blood on the doorpost. And the death angel will see the blood and pass over. There's power in the blood. You want to say that out loud, you'll feel better. There's power in the blood. All right, so that's what they did. But the Lord also told them, do this fully dressed and ready to go. Because when this happens the next day, you're going to be ready to go. You're going to be free. And I think sometimes when we take communion, which we haven't done in a while, we need to do that. But, and we've always taught, take this ready to go, fully dressed. This is not some casual event. This is something, because when you take communion and you apply that by faith into your life, God has just cleansed you and set you free. Amen? Because that's the blood of Jesus that we're representing there. And by the blood and the stripes that he suffered for us. Amen? You'll say amen again, it'll help me out. All right. Okay. All right. So that happened in Egypt. And then ever since that time, they were set free. And they went and for years, they wandered in the wilderness. Anyway, they're in Jerusalem now. And they're still doing Passover every year. Because, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, please. Verse 11. And we'll go through 15. Hebrews 9 says, 9:11 says, "But Christ," that's Jesus, "being come and high priest of good things to come," everybody say that's who we are and that's where we are, "by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, his own body, not the body of an animal, a lamb, but his body, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands." That is to say, of this building. Because they're talking about religious things here. 12, please. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves or lambs, but by his own blood, he, Jesus, who John the Baptist said years before, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" Did you hear what he said? The Bible says it takes away the sins of the world. All of them? Well, he skipped one, Julian. He's got to come back and get me and you straightened out. Okay? He didn't skip any of it. It paid the price for all of that. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of God. God gave his blood. Jesus gave his blood. By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. talking about the Holy of Holies here in the tabernacle there in Jerusalem. Anyway, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, everybody say eternal. How long is that? It's forever. Eternal. He obtained, everybody say obtained. He obtained, he purchased, he took eternal, forever. He'll never have to do this again. Eternal redemption. What does that mean? It's a big old religious word. It means deliverance. Riddance. We got rid of that. Y'all ever said that? We got rid of those mice, or we got rid of this or that. Anna said amen on that one. She even shouted almost up here a little bit. A riddance, a deliverance. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen? If you're a believer tonight in Jesus, you're redeemed from the curse of the law because he carried his own blood. We didn't have to go get another lamb and redo it like they do today. Let me tell you, I'm going to make a statement here. After Jesus' crucifixion, there was no need for Passover. No need for Passover. They're still doing it now in Israel because they don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God nor the Lamb, but we know that he is, right? And we don't know just because we've been studying, just because we know. We know. After the crucifixion, there was no need for the Passover because you remember when that morning when Mary saw Jesus, thought he was the gardener, and she said, "Where is he? Where have you laid him? I will go get him." And he said, what did he say? Mary. What if he just said, Joy? Would you have known that word? Yeah, you'd have known that was your name. Because he's called it before. He might have said Freddie. And we instantly know who he is by the way he says it. Amen. That's how now, even today, we serve God. He's in heaven, but we have his spirit. But we know his voice. If you've served Jesus any time, at any length of time, you know when he's calling your name. You know when he's speaking to you. Yeah. We may not always stop and listen. I believe that was Jesus. Would you stop and listen? No, I was too busy. Well, that's not the right decision. Time out. Let's stop. We know his name. But when he said Mary, she said, Master. Oh, happy day. Her tears became full of joy. It's almost mind-blowing. She watched him die. She watched him put him in the tomb. She handled his body. They began preparation for the Passover. You see, they went ahead and had one that next day, but they didn't really need one. The disciples didn't need one. The believers didn't need one. I said the believers didn't need one. The believers didn't need one. So you and I don't have to go to a synagogue and get and partake of the Passover this week. Jesus was the Passover. And there's speculation what day he died. Now we believe or we understand or accept that he died on Good Friday. But it's hard to get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning, isn't it? 1, 2, 3. It don't work. I've been doing a little study on that this afternoon, and there's different thinking on it. But if you did it in the math the way that we would do it, he would die on Thursday. But this is what I came to the conclusion to understand. The Jewish calendar and our calendar is not alike. The Jewish calendar goes from sundown tonight to sundown the next night. So that's 24-hour period of evening. So if you do it like that, it works out a lot better. And if he came up on Sunday morning, it's still, I mean, any part of the day would count. So just don't get bent out of shape about all that. This is the bottom line. He died and he rose again. That's all you got to think about. So what? It was a Thursday or Friday. I wasn't there anyway. Were y'all? So it doesn't matter. But I know this. He's alive. Glory to God. Is he alive? I met him one night. What about y'all? Yeah, we met him. We all met him. And said, yes, Jesus. He'll heal you of, what was it, arthritis? What? Yes. Glory to God. And he's healing us all the time. Amen. Well, you know, hey, he's still believing it. Believe. Don't let go of God. The blood still works. The blood still flows. Faith will move things. Faith is your agent of change. He will change from bad to good. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the dumb, oh, I shouldn't say dumb. Can't speak. I'll use that kind of dumb. Can't speak. Can speak. Yeah. Let the lost say, I'm found. Yeah. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Yeah. The Bible says that. I don't believe that's talking stuff. Well, you don't believe the Bible, or at least the way how the Bible works, because God said faith is like this, and we're to live by faith. Faith believes, and faith speaks. Faith speaks, and power is released to do whatever it was sent to do. Amen. So, when you're down and out, in the name of Jesus, I'm up and in. I'm not down and out. Glory to God. I'm having a wonderful day. That takes some faith. But you got, and all of us, we had to grow in this because first, especially some of your family say, ooh, y'all crazy. Well, the crazy one is the one that went, how do we not believe God's word? We'll believe it for this, but we won't believe it for that. It's in the same Bible. It's the same promise. It's the same Holy Spirit. Same God spoke it. Same God believing it and doing it today. It'll work today like it did 3,000 years ago. The word of God works. And Jesus eternally set us free. He won't have to die again. What are you going? You know, I'd like to ask the devil, what are you going to do with a resurrected guy? Well, you can't kill him, and you can't stop him. In fact, he went to your house and he destroyed it. The stronger went to the strong man's house. You know who that's talking about? The strong man was the devil. The stronger one was Jesus. He came up out of the grave, glory to God. He shook hell's gates, amen, praise be to God, and took away all of the devil's power. He plainly says that in Matthew 28, all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And go in my name and cast the devil out and do the things I did and even greater things. Because there's people out there, right, David? Jesus died for all of us. We could have been those people if we hadn't met the Lord somewhere. Amen. Fast. After the resurrection, but the crucifixion, there's no need for a Passover. He's already passed over us. Pharaoh can't hold you back anymore. Pharaoh can't hold you back. No. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 3:3. Very familiar. Y'all ever heard of Nicodemus? Nicodemus. He should be one of our heroes. Yeah. Jesus and Nicodemus are having a conversation. During the night, the door knocks on Jesus' tent. How you do that? Knock on the tent. Anyway, it's Jesus' house. Okay. Hey, Jesus. Is this your house? Jesus and Nicodemus were having a conversation. Nicodemus was a priest. He was a Pharisee, very high up in the Jewish hierarchy and church there, if you could call it church, whatever, in the Jewish customs. And but he had seen Jesus and heard about Jesus, and he became a believer in Jesus. Amen? There are a lot of people tonight that believe in Jesus. But they don't know him. They hadn't done this part. Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Nicodemus, except a man be born again." It will say born again. You have to be born again. Jesus said it, I didn't. I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A lot of people believe in Jesus tonight. They'll mentally agree with it. I did it for 25 years. You know? And we all did probably to some degree. But then the moment came when I knew something was not right. And then God arranged for all this to happen. And I said yes to him. And guess what? Born again. That would say born again.
Born again.
You know, we all just say that all the time. The devil hates for us to say that, born again. He just wishes he could, but he can't. You know, he was an angel one time. He still is one of those beings, but born again. Hey, Lynn, what if we just want born again? I'm born again. I'm born again. Boy, the devil would hate you. He'd be around trying to do stuff, but he couldn't do it because what's in you is greater than what's in this world. Born again. Born again. Who are you? My name is Born Again. Wouldn't that be funny? We could just start doing that Sunday, you know. Hey, what's your name? Born Again. That'd be so cool. Let's just do that. Okay. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily." Now, he's speaking to a priest. But the priest is on his turf. He came to his house. And Jesus, let me tell you something, folks. God loves us enough to tell us the truth. And we should love enough to tell the truth. There's some things being said today that aren't true. And liberal ideas and all kinds of things. And the bottom line is this. Hey, you must be born again. You could have said, you must give $1,000. Or you must run around the building 8 times. You must flop your arms like a chicken. Whatever he said. But that one thing, born again, and Nicodemus goes on to say, what do you mean? Do I go back to my mother's womb? No. No, Nick. You ain't got it. It's born of the Spirit. He said, how do you know the wind's blowing because the leaves move? Because of the Spirit. How do we know Jesus? Because people are falling out on the floor, getting healed, getting saved. Like Josh did Sunday. Glory be to God. Came down here. Asked Jesus to his heart. Amen. And this is going to be, I don't know how many, we don't need to go there. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We should love people enough that don't care a thing about us, don't want to listen to us, but to tell them the truth. I didn't write this book. I'm not responsible, per se. God wrote the book, and he says, you must be born again. And while you're at it, you need to get the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit. He said that as well, too. But we'll get to that part in about 50 days when we talk about Pentecost.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I have 8 o'clock. Be a good place to stop. Hands said, very good. So it's time to go. Oh, the message was good. Thank you. Thank you. Let's receive an offering here for the front row. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all are the best. Let's bring those prayer requests down. We'll pray for those. And then we love all of you, We love you all. Praise God. God's got something good and great for you to happen. Just let it happen. Give him a little time. Give him your faith and a little time, and he can move it. He can do it. He can do it. And he will do it. Hallelujah. God's good, ain't he? Man, we'll just keep going. We'll go to page 2. Amen. Be like Paul Harvey. These people don't even remember who Paul Harvey is. How many know who Paul Harvey is? Well, you must be over 50 anyway. He's been dead for 49 years, I think. But I love Paul Harvey. Okay, let's put our Holy Ghost hands on here. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we pray for these loved ones, we pray, Lord God, you raise them up from the bed of affliction. Lord, raise them up. Raise them up. Save them. Heal them. Deliver them. Bless them, Lord God. Ooh, Jesus, take care of these people. Give them life eternal in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, I bind you for hurting or hindering these people in any way or any of us. You have no right. Jesus took that away from you. You have no privileges. Jesus took all your privileges. Everything you do is by lying and deceit. And you've been caught and found out. And we bind you and cast you out in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, fill this building with your spirit, a residing spirit of the Holy Ghost in this building, all these buildings. We lift up Sunday morning service to you. Lord God, thank you for the abiding Holy Ghost spirit in this place, and anoint these ladies to do this drama, Lord God, as you directed them to do. Lord God, we'll all be inspired and blessed, and thank you, Lord, for these ladies. And Lord God, I respect them and thank you for the hard work. And Lord God, I thank you that the anointing is on them in Jesus' mighty name. Give us safe travels back home tonight and as we go this rest of this week. And Lord, we give you praise for all these things. And thank you, Jesus, that you died for us and rose from the dead. Thank you, Lord. The third day is really close. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Thank y'all. Glory to God. Woo-hoo. Thank you, guys and girls upstairs. See y'all the best.